the 8th and 9th verse of the 16th Psalm. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not fall. My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm still new at this preaching game. Still trying to figure out what exactly I ought to do up here, and what I ought not to do up here. One of the things I try to commit myself to is transparency. So a moment of pastoral preaching transparency. 2 weeks ago, I preached from Deuteronomy, and I told you that the Lord will take you through difficult times. I said the Lord will humble you. He may even afflict you for your own good. A quarter of you stared not kind stares at me, and I thought to myself, I'm either doing something terribly wrong or something terribly right. So just to show you that God doesn't spare the preacher from his own message, I preached that sermon twice, and then I spent time with the youth group, and then on my way home, I got into a fender bender. My first thought was not, the Lord is humbling me, and I feel joy in this. So I'm walking the walk and having the struggle of the Christian life, just like you, and yet Deuteronomy is still right, even if I don't like it. So of course, right before getting into an accident, we had switched our insurance, and me not being the most put-together person at times, I scrambled for my insurance. Where is it? It's somewhere. I remember, we sat with that guy, we talked, we looked at all the options, we paid the money. Where is my insurance? And this feeling of scrambling for what I knew I thought I had that was actually going to smooth all of this out was just so disorienting. And then I read Psalm 16, and I realized that David has the exact opposite feeling. Instead of scrambling for his insurance, he's actually deeply aware of his assurance in God. So what is this thing, assurance? And is it something possible for us? And if so, how do we obtain it? Assurance is, you might know it from the song Blessed Assurance, or you might have read it somewhere, but it's a theological term that means secure confidence that you are truly forgiven and redeemed in Jesus Christ. But assurance is actually a really complex thing. It feels like it should be an easy thing to know, but it's a hard thing to actually live out. Some of us have a deep sense of assurance early on in our faith, and then we actually come to points of struggle. Some of us struggle actually for a long period of our walk with Christ for the deep assurance that we are his and he is ours. And unfortunately, it seems like part of what the Lord does is he takes us through difficulties, see the same theme again, to grow a sense of assurance in the midst of difficulty for us. And I believe firmly that the scriptures show God wants us to have assurance that we are his and he is ours. But how do you get it? How do you get a confident sense that you are the Lord's and nothing can change that? What we see in Psalm 16 is that David praises God for his faithfulness. And he speaks about the life that he's had with God. And you can look at it and you can say, this is confident, bold trust in God. The apostles could see in Psalm 16 the faith of Jesus, who went to the cross, trusting that God would deliver him. You will not abandon my soul to death. You'll bring me through this. And so he could go to the cross confident that even though all of this looks like death and darkness, the Lord is with me and will deliver me. But I believe that Psalm 16 is also a message for us about how we ought to find assurance that we are the Lord's, that he is ours, and that we are with him always. And I think what's clear from Psalm 16 is that assurance is not to be found in ourselves, in navel gazing to see how we measure up, but assurance is rooted in always setting the Lord before us, fixing our eyes on what God has done. In verse 8, David declares, "I have set the Lord always before me." Immediately, what you see is that David's focus is not in himself, but in the Lord. There's in the Hebrew wording here a sense of continual practice of looking to the Lord. I've been doing this. This is my habit. This is my life. This is the bread of my daily existence. I have set the Lord before me. He can say confidently, "You are my chosen cup and portion. I've got nothing else here. All my good is in you. That's all I have." He's so focused, he can say, "As for all those other people, they're going to go their way, but I'm with you, and I'm looking to you." And this notion of setting the Lord before you is a poetic way of saying his heart, his mind, his being was focused on God and who he is. Through everything he's faced, he set the Lord always before his eyes. Now, taken in the abstract and imagining that David is just some hero of the faith, you could be like, well, yeah, I mean, he could do that. He's David. But remember the story of David. This guy went through it. It wasn't just fighting the 7-foot-tall Goliath. It was then the very man he formed such a close friendship with, Saul, then begins to try and murder him. And then when David becomes king, his own son tries to overthrow him. How much of David's life was spent in caves, huddling for security, praying to the Lord for deliverance? And so when he says, "I have set the Lord always before me," he's saying it as a man who has gone through it, who has struggled, and who has had over and over again the fear and anxiety of his safety. And he's had to look to the Lord for his security. And so all through those challenges, he can say, "This has been my practice. This is what I do. I look to the Lord." Like David, our confidence cannot be in ourselves. If we're looking for assurance of our life with God in us, our orientation is in the wrong direction. If you've lived for even a short time as a Christian, you've seen deep down that you are unstable. We have faith, and then we struggle. And so the cry comes out in the Gospels, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." We start walking well, and then we stray away from God. If you're honest with yourself, you see that your life in Christ is a mixed bag. There's some success, and there's some failure. But the message of the gospel is that what Jesus did in becoming man, he did because we couldn't do it. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus did it for us. The bad good news is you couldn't do it yourself. This is just basic, right? Like, we forget this because this is Christianity 101, right? You didn't save yourself. Jesus saved you. And initially, when you first hear the gospel, you know that. Ah, look at what God has done for me. And your eyes are fixed on Jesus and what he has done for you. How much he loves you. How much compassion and forgiveness he has for you. And then you walk a while and you get more and more focused on yourself. What have I done for the Lord? How have I been doing this? And if you're honest with yourself, it's a mixed bag. There's been some success, and there's been some failure. But then, and that's fine to know, but then you begin to forget Christianity 101. You didn't save yourself. Jesus saved you. But the more and more you look at your life and how you're doing in this faith, how much you're doing, you say, okay, I think God loves me. I think he's forgiven me because I'm trying. And do you see how the orientation has shifted? It's not, look who God is. He's the one who forgives everything I've done. He's the one who strengthens me when I have no strength in myself. And now it's, I'm really trying. I hope he forgives me. Now, these are important questions to ask. How am I walking? Am I following the Lord? Am I struggling with a sin? Am I struggling with disobedience? How am I living out my life? But those are not the questions to ask when it comes to assurance. We just need to follow David. I have set the Lord always before me. Because if what we've done is always looked to the Lord, we know that our salvation is His work. And the fact that we continue in this Christian life is because He continues to build us up, to pour out His Spirit, to bring us to Him. Assurance is not rooted in navel-gazing. You're not going to find it. Otherwise, you're going to lie to yourself and say, yeah, I think I'm doing this Christian thing pretty well, and you're going to miss out all the darkness in your heart, or you're going to say in honest anxiety, it's a mixed bag. And that's why it's important to look to Jesus. But here's the critical thing. If you're going to look to Jesus, look to the real Jesus. Not a figment of your own imagination, not something that you've slowly pieced together that actually looks far different from Jesus. And if you think I'm kind of going overboard here, it's really a problem. People look to the wrong Jesus all the time because they don't know Him. And so David says here, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not fall. Now in the Hebrew, he doesn't just say the generic word for God. I have set God before me. He says Yahweh. And this is the name that Israel's been given. When God came to Moses, and Moses says, who shall I tell him is doing this? Yahweh. I am who I am. This is the personal name of Israel. And so when David says, Yahweh is always set before me, because Yahweh is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He knows that that name is the name of the one who brought his people out of Egypt. That's the name of the one who walked with them through the wilderness. Yahweh is the name of the one who has already been their deliverer, who has already been faithful to them, the one who set him on the throne. It's not some generic notion of God. It's that God, my God, the one who has been faithful to me. Because He is with me, I will not be shaken. So the real question is, are your eyes fixed on the true Jesus? The Jesus of the Scriptures? The surprising Jesus? The confounding Jesus? And fundamentally, I think what we do more often than not is we think, well, He's less forgiving than He seems. Or He's less gracious. He's gracious enough to get me in this whole thing, but then it's up to me to turn it out. We place a false image of Christ before our eyes, and then we try to live up to those expectations. And I think that this is fundamentally a mistake, and this is why it's so important to find your understanding of Jesus in the Scriptures themselves. Do you know the Jesus who hung out with tax collectors and sinners and hookers and didn't condemn them? Do you know the Jesus who cried, who wept tears, God Himself, when He saw that Lazarus' sisters were grieved over Lazarus' death? Do you know the Jesus who loves Peter, even though He knows, you will deny me three times? And after that denial, when He went to the cross and Peter ran the other way, He restores him and He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Do you know the Jesus who, dying on the cross, looks out at the people who have killed Him and says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do? Do you know that Jesus? Chances are your image of Jesus' love and mercy and forgiveness is not that big, because mine isn't. He got us in this whole thing, but then it's up to me, right? Expand your vision of God's compassion. Because when you see how truly compassionate God is, the fact that He is with you, not just us, the fact that He is with you will be an amazing, wonderful word of hope. Because if God is with you, if He is for you, you have everything. Assurance is an easy thing. I know the one who is with me. I have always looked to Him. And He is the faithful one, the compassionate one. And that's why David was able to have a profound sense of gladness and joy in his heart, because he knew the Lord, and he knew that the Lord was with him. He writes, therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My body also dwells secure. Undergirding this whole psalm is David's knowledge of who God is. He is the rock. He is the deliverer. He is the merciful one. And so the fact that he is with me means that I have all joy and gladness. Do you know the joy and gladness of being with Jesus? Do you know the security and comfort of knowing that the compassionate Jesus is with you and that through him you are a child of God? Or do you think that that applies to everyone else? Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is the Lord of the world. But then when it comes to your personal life, does he love you? Has he saved you? I think it's so easy for us as Christians to begin to see all that Jesus is for the world and lose sight of what he is for us individually. So do you know this joy and gladness? Because if you don't, look to Jesus. Ask the Lord to give you confidence that he is with you. Maybe you haven't thought assurance was possible. Maybe it seemed presumptuous to say, I am saved, forgiven, delivered with Jesus, and I can have confidence that he is with me and will always be with me. But I just think that's what we see in the scriptures. People overwhelmed with the knowledge that they are forgiven, that they are redeemed, that they are delivered, not because of anything they've done in themselves, but because of who God is. So do you know that that assurance is possible? Maybe you didn't think it was possible, and I would ask you to seek Jesus, the compassionate one, and ask him to show you his love for you. Maybe you thought assurance was possible, but you thought it needed to come from within, that you need to find in yourself a reason to be reconciled to God, a reason for God to love you. Look to Jesus. Set your eyes to the Lord. See that he loves you, not for what you've done, but because you're his. And maybe you experienced this assurance, but it's been fleeting. It's come and gone, or maybe it swelled up early on and now it's cooled. Seek the Lord. Set your eyes on Jesus and ask for him to bring more and more joy and gladness in your heart. Assurance is not presumption. It's the confidence that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is loving and he is compassionate. So let us follow David's example and always set the Lord before us and know that in him is our security. Amen.